Stop. A few people looked up. Wait. Listen. Now, those words to me aren't words that come naturally. Okay, for me, words like plan, do, act, ready, steady, go, problem, solve. Okay, that's words that come naturally to me. So I must admit, when I was asked to speak on listening and waiting on God, I thought, oh no, here we go. But actually, as a church, and actually as society, isn't it true that we are far more comfortable in the acting, in the doing, in the problem solving, than we are actually in stopping and waiting and listening? And you know, the problem with perpetual motion is that eventually you sort of forget where you're going. And even worse than that, you can forget why you're going there. Okay, so sometimes when I'm walking the dog in the morning and I've got some of the work thing going on in my head, I can get to the end of the walk of about 2.5 miles, and I can guarantee I actually did not know where I walked, because I was completely lost in my thoughts of how do I sort this out, how am I going to sort that out. And about 6 weeks ago, in our leadership team meeting, we just had a real sense that as a church it was time to stop. It was time to wait, and it was time to listen. So we're going to launch into this really important week in the life of Sorters of Church, and we hope and pray a really significant week for us as a church fellowship. You know, God has spoken to us as a church over the years, hasn't he? You know, many, many times in this church, I think history goes back well over 100 years, doesn't it? And God has spoken. He has guided us as a church. Even in the last years, we've seen it as new ministries have started, as we've brought employees in, as we've had vision and purpose and these types of things. And we just felt that this is the season, this is the time when we need to stop again and we need to listen to God's voice for where he wants to take us as a church. You know, it's important that we don't just think about it. And our hope and our prayer is that you will be, from what people are saying from this morning, but generally that you will be inspired, you'll be challenged, you'll be convinced that you want to join together this week. Whether you can come here every night, we pray that you will, as you can. If you can't because you can't get a lift, talk to someone. We'll get a lift to you. You know, don't let not being able to get here because of transport stop you. We will make sure you can get here. If you can't get here, we want you to be part of it. You will all have, or please pick one up, this sheet. That's a little prompt. There's not lots of structure or anything else like that, but we want everyone to be part of it this week, because we feel that this isn't just the leadership team going away and waiting on the Lord. This is us as a church doing it. So before we look at some of the way that God does actually speak to us today, and we've already heard some of them, I'd like us to look very briefly at an Old Testament passage when God spoke clearly in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I'm going to highlight just a few points really quickly, and then we're going to look at the way that God actually speaks to the church today. So in 1 Samuel, things had not been going very well. Eli was a high priest, and his family, his sons, had effectively walked away from God. They were doing their own things. Basically, God had just said to them, this is what I'm going to do as a result of this. So let's pick up the story in 1 Samuel chapter 3. The boy Samuel. Now, I love the fact that it's the boy Samuel, okay? The boy was probably about 12 years old. So first of all, and I know there's not that many young people in today, but this is not a week for oldies. God speaks through young people, through old people, through everybody. This isn't, you know, I'd love it if the young people joined us for this week. as we seek God's will for us as a church. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli. And he said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and lie down." So Samuel went and he lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. And at that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from the beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible and he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called to him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What is it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Don't hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel came from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. So just three very brief points I want to bring out from that. First one, God speaks, but we need to be ready to listen. God speaks, but we need to be ready to listen. You know, there seems to be a direct link between how ready the people were, how open their hearts were, and how obedient they were to God, and how much God would reveal himself. So it said at the start here, didn't it, that in those days the word of the Lord was rare. Well, actually, there was a people that had put idols before God, had put themselves before God, had put their own desires before God. And God was not revealing himself very much. Eli, the high priest, he was the top guy. He was the high priest. And he struggled to discern that it was God who was speaking to Samuel. And, you know, I think it's important as we start to think about listening to God and asking God to speak to us, that we come with open hearts. We come before him and we say, "Lord, I've put idols before you. I put things far more important than you," because God wants to speak to us. But if we are not ready to listen because we put other things in place, then how are we going to hear him? You know, I think confession is an important point in here. So this evening, as we start our week together, we're going to have communion together. And that is a great time as we look at what Jesus did for us on the cross and did on the cross to actually say, "Lord," individually, but also as a church, we've done things that don't please you. We want to come and we want to be open. We want to open our ears, open our hearts to hear you. So God wants to speak, but we have to be ready to listen. When God does speak, we have to listen and we have to be obedient. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes it can be hard to discern. Well, was that God's word? Wasn't it God's word for me? Whatever. We're going to think a bit more about it, but I love what Alan says. You know, actually, sometimes we've just got to trust that that is God speaking to us. But actually, we have to be obedient to God's word. And it's not always easy. So Samuel didn't much like what he had to do. He had to go to Eli and basically tell him what God had said, which wasn't a good thing. But he was obedient. You know, so it would be great, wouldn't it, to have a fantastic week and say, the Lord has been speaking to us, we've heard from him, and then just to get on with our days as though nothing had really happened. But actually, when God does speak, he calls us to be obedient, to do what he tells us to do. And then God speaks to guide individuals, yes. But more often he speaks to groups of people. So here he was talking to Samuel. But it wasn't about direct guidance for Samuel. It was actually to go and tell the house of Eli and actually the whole of Israel what was going on here. You know, God loves to speak to his people. Okay, in this case it was Israel. We see in the New Testament, don't we, time after time, whether it be through Paul in all the letters that he wrote to people, in Revelation, as God reveals to the seven churches there, that God wants to speak to his church. Often through individuals, yes, but he wants to speak to his church. So as we launch into this week of waiting and listening on the Lord, we can be encouraged that God wants to speak to us. So that's the backdrop. I don't want to talk any more sort of about 1 Samuel 3 now, but I just wanted to put that in the context, if you like, that, you know, we have to be ready to listen. When God speaks, we have to obey. And God wants to speak to his people. He wants to speak to us as a church. But we did say when we were talking about this that we want to be quite practical. Therefore, you sort of look at, well, okay, how does God speak? And I actually found this thing from a lady called Rebecca Barlow Jordan. I don't know if anyone's heard of her. She is an author. But actually, when I read through it, and I thought, this actually fits well. I like this. And she came up with eight different ways, says that there are eight different ways that God speaks today. Now, other people say there's six. Other people would say 10. Some people may even say there's just one way that God speaks to us today through his word, through the scripture. But actually, I thought, and thankfully, they fit in quite well with what's already been said. So I thought I'd just run through these briefly. As we do this, I want us to remember the word and. Okay, the word and. This is not God speaks in this way about this thing, and then God speaks in this way about this thing, and maybe about this way in a different thing. Actually, God speaks to us in all of these ways, and he uses it to confirm what he is saying and such like. So they're not sort of mutually exclusive. They're not God speaks in this way or that way. When you look at these things, he speaks in all of these ways. And he does it to inspire, to challenge, to convict, and to confirm his word for us. So we're going to go through these at fairly breakneck speed. This is a series in a sermon, okay? So I apologize... that this could be, each one of these could be a whole sermon. But first one, through scripture, Mike has said it. When we look at God's word, when we read God's word, we see his heart, we see his expectations, we see his love, we see his justice. And as we dwell and as we read it, as we meditate on it, he will reveal things to us. So as I was reading through 1 Samuel and the first parts of 1 Samuel, I was really convicted, James, in my own life, what idols am I putting in place? I am putting idols in place. What things am I putting in place that are stopping God speaking? And maybe that's something, the church is there. So as we read God's word, he will reveal things to us. He has to, okay? Because it is his inspiration to us. It is how we see his heart. It's how we see his expectations, his love, etc. If we put those other things in front, then as we read his word, it will be dim. It won't mean anything to us. But if we say, Lord, I want to read this. I want you to speak. I want to obey. Then he will speak. And you know, we do say, and it's important to say, and Mike's already said it, that anything that comes out has to be tested against the word of God. Now, that doesn't mean that there is some rule book. So let me give you an example. We've got the Guide Dogs Centre, haven't we, in Warwick, Leamington. So let's just say that someone had a real heart and a vision and said, and this is just an example, this isn't real, but said, I've got a real heart that we should be doing a ministry amongst the people that are working at the Guide Dogs Association, because they are linking in with really vulnerable people in society. Now, we don't look at the Bible and say, well, in this page here, no, it doesn't say that there will be a ministry in Warwick in the Guide Dogs Association. That isn't how we test it. We say, does this meet God's heart? Is God's heart to reach out to people? Yes, it is. Is it to help those who are vulnerable? Yes, it is. Well, in that case, let's talk about it. Let's work out whether this really is God's will or not. We're not testing in some sort of legalistic way. We are testing to see if it's in God's heart. If someone said, I've got a real heart for guide dogs, okay, I want to have a service for guide dogs, and all we're going to have is the guide dogs there. Well, I think we could probably read it and go, maybe some people would discuss it, but I would have a problem with that one personally, because I don't really see that type of thing coming out of Scripture. Let's speak afterwards if you see it otherwise. People always do, and it's always quite interesting. But you know, seriously, we test things against Scripture, against God's heart, against his expectations, against his love, against his justice. Jan said this one. God speaks to us through nature and through creation. So many people would agree with that. I know I agree with that. I love going up into the Black Mountains, seeing the hills. And you know, there's two elements to this. One of which is, I think God really does speak through nature. I mean, we read in Romans chapter 1 that for the people who say they don't know God, well, they can see God in creation. Okay, you can, the beauty of creation, that new birth that you see when in spring and that type of thing, you can actually, you know, God can speak through that. But for me, it's as much about getting rid of those distractions. You know, John Temple showed me an app to put on my phone to see how long I have my screen time on each day. And it is scary how long my screen time is on each day. The distractions that we've got around us are immense, aren't they? And to actually get out into creation, to get out onto the allotment, up into the hills, wherever it may be, and say, Lord, those distractions are away. Lord, just speak to me. Maybe with the Bible in your hand or whatever. That is just an amazing time. And God can speak through creation, but he can also speak by removing those distractions. So maybe this week, as we are spending time, maybe it is good. We're going to talk about fasting in a minute. Maybe it is good. One day, put your phone away, switch it off. That will be a challenge, won't it? You know, let's try and get rid of distractions that are stopping us from spending time with the Lord and for him speaking to us. But also, let's look at God. I saw those rainbows yesterday because it was one of those days. And I learned something new, completely irrelevant, but I learned it was new. And I thought, wow, this is cool. Now, this is really stupid. I'm sure you all know it. But of course, as I was looking at the rainbow, I also saw my shadow. And I thought, my shadow points to the center of the rainbow. Ever thought of that? It's always going to point to the center of the rainbow because that's where the sun is behind you. Completely irrelevant, I apologize for that. But I sort of thought, wow, I've learned something new, that rainbows are created and the sun's always right behind me and I can align exactly to the middle of the rainbow. Sorry, there we go. And that's why the rainbow moves throughout the day, obviously. You all know that, don't you? I'm just like, whatever. God speaks through nature and creation. That is a picture of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. You know, we all have role models, don't we? People who we look up to. But actually there's one person, one role model who is worth basing our lives on, always looking up to, always trying to follow. And you know, if we just look at Jesus, look at his words, look at what he did for us, Look at his life and say, Lord, speak to me. How can we not be spoken to as we look at his heart and his love and his compassion and what he's done for us? You know, for me, communion is a really special time. It's that time when we just focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. We can take away all other distractions and we can say, Lord, I'm here. All those things I've done that get in the way, I apologize for, but Lord, you are my Lord. I want to follow you. And at those points, Jesus will speak to us. He will show us his love and his heart. Through others. Now, interesting, this is an older guy and a younger guy. And just remember, it's not always the older guys talking to the younger guys. Sometimes younger guys have got a lot to teach us older people, okay? We must listen to them. We must listen to them. I was walking through London three or four weeks ago, and as you do, perpetual motion, I was moving, and there was a lady walking in the opposite direction, and I was just about to cross the road, and as I walked past, I thought, I recognize her. That's Naomi. And I hadn't seen Naomi, I worked it out, since 1989, okay? And I just thought, that was Naomi Harper. And I sort of went onto my family WhatsApp and said, I think I've just seen Naomi Harper. And it turns out my sister is Facebook friends with her, so I found her and messaged her and said, were you walking near King's Cross Station? At And she said, yes. And it was Naomi Harper. And it reminded me that Naomi Harper, back in 1989, the last time I saw her, was sort of getting on a bus on the way back from Turkey. And literally, it was a bus. I got a bus down to Turkey, and we got a bus all the way back from Turkey. And it was, for about three-quarters of the journey, like a proper number 68 bus, not a coach. Anyway, I was getting on this bus, and we'd just been doing a mission. Naomi has been on a different mission group in part of Turkey. I've been in Istanbul. And she said to me, and it stuck with me. I hadn't thought about it until I re-saw Naomi. And she said, James, I think you've got a real gift for leadership. And I probably have thought about it over the years, but I didn't think anything else of it. And as I was thinking about today, I was then thinking about other people when I was in youth group, even younger than that, sort of saying similar things. Now, you know, God can speak through little words that we give to people, and that is a responsibility to us, to be very careful what we say to people, and how we say things to people, but also to say things to people, to encourage. If you've got a word for someone, if you not just sort of flippantly or whatever, but if you really have got a sense that God is speaking, then say it to them. They can test it, they can talk to other people and all those types of things, but don't hold it back, because God will talk and speak through other people. I think maybe throughout this week we're going to be maybe having some prayer sort of cards as well, and we'll develop that theme a little bit. But that is so important, that the words that we speak will land in people's hearts. And it may be 30 years later that they realize it was God actually speaking. It also reminded me, just as an aside, that for those of us who use social media, it is a really important thing for us. You know, it's not just the words that we speak, it's the actions that we have, how we... are we there for people? But also, how people see us in that virtual world nowadays. It's really, really important that we realize that God does speak through us, but we've got to check ourselves in how we are speaking. Are we speaking in a godly way? But God does speak through others. Here is one. Some people may struggle with this one a little bit, but speaking through music, I'm going to say speaking through creativity, not just art creativity, but how, you know, we've got brains, haven't we? And I'm not a biologist or a medical person, but I reckon we've got brains, parts of our brain which are sort of respond to words, and we've got a creative part of our brain, okay? And God wants to speak into all different elements and use all different elements, and therefore I think it is true. You know, we're told to sing psalms and spiritual songs to each other all the way through scripture and history. Music has been used to speak, to, you know, maybe it's a way that when we praise God and when we openly worship, We're opening ourselves up to say, Lord, I love you. Will you speak into our hearts? And yes, I do think that God does speak through words of songs. You know, you can all remember, I mean, I don't know about you, but I can't remember any songs that I've heard in the last 20 odd years. But those songs, you know, however old you were, whether it be the Beatles or whether it be, you know, something slightly older, when you were in your teenage years, if that comes on, you will still remember those songs. The words of songs tend to be embedded in us. And therefore, as we sing spiritual songs, they do get embedded in, and I do think God does speak through them. But I also think there's an element that we should use our creativeness in worship. Now, for some of us, it goes, well, I don't know. You know, can we investigate how we can do that? You know, can I have a whole load of building blocks and be creative? I don't know. But there is, and I know at church here we are trying to be more and more creative. And on Thursday, okay, Rosa Wayne is coming. So Rosa is the lady who did the painting here a few months ago. And we're going to have different ways that we can express that. But we're going to try and be more creative in the way that we listen to God. So do join us on Thursday evening as we do that. You know, I don't know about you, but again, when I'm in West Wales, I put the headphones in, I find an empty beach, and I sing at the top of my voice. And that is a way that I'm releasing myself and saying, Lord, I'm here. Will you speak to me? Through circumstance. Alan mentioned this very much so earlier. We use a word, don't we, omnipresent. What does omnipresent mean? God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. So do we need to go hunting for God up here because it's only going to be found up here? Or maybe I think God is, oh Lord, I'm looking for you. I can't find you. Where are you? Well, God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. And therefore God is with us where we are. We don't have to go searching for God because he has found us. Okay, so as we deal with people, as we speak with people, as God opens those doors and closes those doors, let's realize that he can talk through us through those circumstances, through those things that are happening. You know, I'm sure that others have got testimony like Alan, I know I have, where when you look back, you realize God has been speaking into your hearts. Well, let's maybe be proactive in that and say, Lord, will you show me as we move forward as a church? Will you put those circumstances in our ways? So we've got just two more. Two very big ones that it's like, how long have we got? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is fundamental to us as a Christian. I only became a Christian because of the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. As he convicted me, as he challenged me, as he spoke to me, and as I responded. And you know, often that still, small voice that says, James, that's not what I want, or well done. You know, that small voice that we get, is that the Spirit speaking to us? But you know, there's also specific gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to the church for the building up of the church. Not necessarily for personal satisfaction, but actually for building up of his body, because he likes us to worship him, to be built up as his church. So words of knowledge, which again, how can I summarize in a sentence? But you know, revealing God's wisdom to us through Scripture, through understanding of Scripture, the gifts of prophecy as he reveals the direction that he wants to be leading us, gifts of tongues, a way that, you know, expresses love. Now, we just don't have time to go into these, but one thing to say obviously is they don't add to Scripture. They've always got to be tested, but as a church, we do say, Lord, we want to hear you. In all the ways that we want you to give us those gifts that are going to build us up so that we can give you the glory. And finally, through prayer. So we are not having a week of prayer, okay? Because if it was a week of prayer, we would just be praying Prayer is going to be an important part of this, but all of these elements are how we listen to God. There may be others. Do come along this evening and share how God speaks to you. Maybe you've got a slightly different slant on some of these. But you know, as we quietly speak with God, we've got to expect to hear from him. If not, it's a one-way conversation, isn't it? Lord, 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 Lord. But unless we're expecting to hear back from God, it's just that one-way discussion as we put all our requests out there or we say how much we love God. Well, actually, God wants to speak to us as we are quiet, as we come before him. We will do lots of praying this week. We've set aside Tuesday as a day of fasting. Now, Ian has very helpfully put on the back of these notes, and I don't think everyone did get one, so please do take them as you leave. We'll get an email, but has put some notes on fasting. And really, fasting is, in many respects, it's a way of putting aside everything else and saying, Lord, we're here. Please speak. There's nothing more important. Now, it may be food that you're going to fast from, but as I say, you can fast from other things as well, you know, in our modern world. And maybe it's not right for you on Tuesday, maybe Wednesday. I would say, please, it's something that I think is quite important, that it would be great if on Tuesday evening we then all come in and say, oh, my tummy's rumbling. You know, fasting is meant to be something where it's not about us and what we're doing. It's all about God. It's a time where we can put that other things aside and say, Lord, we are here. Please speak to us. So look at the screen. Different ways that God wants to speak to us. And please remember that these are additive. This isn't just God speaks in one way. God will speak in all different ways. He'll talk into the same thing in different ways. And you know, this week, I really hope it's going to be an interactive week. That doesn't mean an interactive PowerPoint presentation. I mean, it's going to be an interactive week where there's a conversation going on. You know, it's not just about we're going to sit here and wait and then write something down. You know, we're going to talk about things. We're going to discuss things together. And it's not just about this week. You know, we've said that in a few weeks' time, the leadership and star team, we go away on retreat. We got a December the 3rd, we've got a church meeting. And beyond that, you know, please don't think, I can't come, therefore I'm not part of it. You know, you are part of it. You're part of Source of Church. Okay, if you're part of Source of Church, you are part of this week. If you can't physically come here, you are still part of what we're doing. So please do share. If you get the daily prayer point, you will get each week, each day what's on here. You'll get all the Bible verses already. You don't even need to look them up because they're already going to be on there. So, you know, please do join this week as we want to see it as a really significant phase. And finally, just to close, I know I've gone over, I knew I would, but this week is not about me individuals, or you individuals. This is about we, okay? This is a week that we have set aside as we seek the Lord's voice for us at Saltersford, so we can discern and be obedient to the work that he is calling us to. So just two things to finish. Richard Foster, brilliant book, Celebration Discipline. He reflects on the verse, when two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. And that is about getting an agreement about something that had been going on. And he points out that when people come together and agree, they are discerning God's will. If they're coming together in his name and they're agreeing on things, they are discerning God's will. And if they do it in unity, if we can be united in that, we can have authority. So unity plus agreement equals authority. So as we go and we want to say, Lord has called us into this work, we can do it with authority if we are united in it and if we agree in it. And that's really the prayer for what we're coming about here, is we want to be united and agree in what the Lord is calling us to. And finally, and I love that little sketch earlier, but really important, if we can't listen to each other, how on earth are we going to listen to God? You know, if someone says, God is speaking to me, but actually when they communicate with someone else, it is evident that they can't actually listen to them. I'm sorry, but it's really difficult to listen to God. So as we talk, as we discuss, let's remember to listen to each other. You know, maybe because we all come with our little paradigms, our own little thoughts, that we're coming from a completely different angle on things. Well, stop and think about what people are actually saying and really listen to people as we talk about these things. Because if we don't listen to each other, then we haven't really got that mindset of how do we listen to God. Time to stop. So hopefully you're inspired, you're challenged, you're convinced and convicted to join the conversation with God as we listen and we wait on him this week. Just to sort of say that we will have, you know, different ways of doing it. We'll have, you know, we'll have time together where people can share. We'll have pieces of paper. I will send this out, but you know, we can send emails if you want to send an email to the leadership team of something. If you want to send it to everybody, you can't read that. Don't worry about it. I'll send it out. But you know, you can send it to all members. Phone someone up if you're not on a computer and say, "The Lord's saying this." You know, please do, because what the Lord is saying to you may be part of that picture, that additive picture. You know, if we don't speak, if we don't share, then, you know, it won't be part of it, will it? So please do to join us. That's it. Let's just close this point in prayer, and I think Susanna may be very briefly going to share, and then we'll finish. Let's pray. Lord, speak. We, your church, want to hear your voice. We want to be obedient to your call. Amen.
When I first had an email about this, I thought I can't, and it was from James saying, you know, can you talk about, or would you be okay to talk about how you listen to God? And I thought, I feel completely unqualified to do that. I'm no paragon of virtue. I don't rise at 5 every morning to spend 2 hours with the Lord reading his scripture and praying. And, you know, if I did that, I'd feel like I could come and stand here and say, this is how I hear from God. And I thought, I can't hand on heart say I do that. I'd like to say I do that, but don't. And I thought, there's so many things I don't do. There's so many things I'd like to do, but I don't do. And I suppose, really, I'd like to encourage you that if you're like me and you feel there are lots of things you don't do that you'd like to do, that God I think when you come to him and you're honest about that and you say, Lord, I'm how useless have I been this week? I wanted to spend all this time with you, and actually, maybe I gave you 5 minutes at some point. Or maybe I didn't give you any time at all. Or maybe I managed more than that, but it wasn't what I intended. And if you come and you say, Lord, I'm really sorry about that, but I'm here now, my heart's for you, could you use me? That he does. And so I think, yeah, that's probably... The thing about sometimes I'll be in the service and I'll feel like some thought drops into my heart and I think, oh, was that you, Lord? And I think, no, that was me. I think, mate, it was probably me. And I have this internal battle and it goes on usually for about 15 minutes at least while I'm going, no, that wasn't you, was it? And I get a bit more of it and I'm thinking, no, it's just me making that up now. And then I hear a bit more and I'm thinking, oh, maybe it's you. Oh, Lord, please don't make me have to say this. I really don't want to have to say this now because I'm feeling really awkward about this and now I'm feeling a bit trembly and I'll probably cry and that's really embarrassing. And then I'll hear a little bit more. I get in there, oh, I think, oh, okay, I'll say it in a minute. And then someone else says something, I think, oh, thank goodness I haven't got to yet because they're talking now. And then that'll end and then there'll be a bit of quiet and I'm going, oh, don't I? And I can tell you that every time when I have, I may not have known at the time whether that made any sense at all to anybody, but maybe after the service or maybe a week later or maybe a month later or maybe 6 months later, someone has come and said to me, that thing you said, that went right to my heart and that spoke exactly into my situation. And I was just thinking, whoa, God, how do you do that? When I was in this kind of, do I, don't I? But he used it. So be encouraged. If you feel inadequate and you feel like you don't, you know, like you tune in just now and again and then you don't do anything with it, be encouraged. He honours you, we're his children and he loves us just like we love our children and we see to the heart of what's going on with them and he won't ever let you down. So just be encouraged. Thank you.
So that's the thought for today as we go out into this week into our meetings together. There's tea, coffee, and then at 6:30 we're meeting back tonight.